You're listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming, gadget, and gear related on DVDverdict.com. On this week's episode, there's no pirate's life for Steve. Kev builds a road. And John got his groove back. Episode 24, Dying Ain't No Kind of a Living, Boy. Good evening, you're listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming, gadget, and Avengers related on DVDverdict.com. With me are my usual cohorts, Captain America.
Neither one of us wants to be Captain America.
I'd kill to be Captain America. He didn't tell us which one of us was going to be Captain America.
Oh, it was whoever jumps in first.
It's great to be here.
And Dr. Bruce Banner.
Oh, man.
I, of course, am your host, Tony Stark.
Of course you are.
You want to know my secret? I'm always angry.
Yeah, you know, we'll just get it out of the way because every geek-centric podcast, website, magazine, web magazine, radio show, television, geek show, and probably three-quarters of YouTube are talking about it. We did all see the Avengers this week.
It's actually a funny story. I ran into one of our regular listeners.
Oh, yeah?
At the mall tonight, and he and his girlfriend saved my wife and I probably the best seat in the house.
Awesome.
Right in the nice. Middle, back row, right in the middle.
We ran into a bunch of people last night.
Yep.
And Joe O had a brilliant idea that I wish we could have capitalized on.
What was that?
Was it going to Toys R Us and buying 4 helmets and wearing them?
No, Joe Woe's idea was that we all should have went to the first showing dressed as the JLA.
That's right, and mock people.
Yeah, and one of us would be using the Christian Bale Batman voice throughout the entire movie. God, this movie's so predictable!
That would have been awesome.
Yeah, it would have been great. But you know what?
You don't owe that popcorn vendor any money. You've already given him everything.
Not everything. No, it was, I mean, my thought, X, awesome movie. Fantastic freaking movie. And that's coming from someone who's generally not a Joss Whedon fan, generally doesn't like the Marvel superhero movies, and really had no faith whatsoever in the Avengers based on the trailers. And I thought it was freaking awesome. So yeah. You know, there it is.
Coming from you, man, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's really good, yeah.
I enjoyed every goddamn minute of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ruined my day today, actually, at work, because when I hopped on Facebook early this morning and saw your glowing comment about it, I was like, oh, man, this is going to be so awesome.
Steve actually liked it.
Well, no, that to me meant that it was going to be more than... Because all I was expecting was, you know, something on the level of Thor or Captain America.
Yeah, well, Captain America. I'd put it, it's probably number 3 or number 4 in my pantheon of superhero films.
Nice.
Yeah. It's just a pantheon that includes, like, such hallowed treasures as Batman Begins.
Yes, well, I mean, I go Watchmen, then Batman Begins... than either Dark Knight or The Avengers, for different reasons.
Cool. Somebody out there has a chocolate bar. Who's got it?
It's not me.
That is me.
Oh, man, I'm hungry.
It's actually a granola bar.
That's nice. That's just goddamn rude.
Fuck you, I'm hungry.
You don't eat while podcasting.
Well, like I said after the show, like I said after the movie last night, Steve, my only problem with it, not enough Scarlet Witch. That was my only problem.
Yeah. Well, that's I agree.
We're not talking about that anymore.
Difference is I'm eating granola bar and he sounds like he has a penis in his mouth.
Okay, whatever. I was chewing gum. Hang on, I'm thirsty.
We just lost all of our viewers. This hurts. It's all right. We can say whatever we want now because nobody's listening.
Brief thoughts, John. Avengers, go.
Good.
Yay.
I mean, I don't really want to get into it. I don't want to spoil anything for anyone.
Okay, so the reason we're all here, of course, is not Avengers. It's video games.
video games, yeah.
Hooray for video games. You know what? I'm going to start this week because I usually always go last, and I'm going to leave one of you guys for last.
Oh.
Mm. Now then.
All right. Hit us up, man.
Yeah. The biggest one by far, which is not really saying a whole hell of a lot, was probably Dragon's Dogma.
Right.
Which was actually the demo for Dragon's Dogma.
Yes, which is right now installed on my PS3, but I haven't played it yet.
It was pretty freaking cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. I was already pretty much, when I hear the words open world RPG in any of that like connotation, I'll usually throw cash on the barrelhead kind of thing. But I don't know, with Dragon's Dogma, I was excited because it looked more. I dare say, like I hesitate to say it, but I'm going to say it. It reminds me of that classic era of RPG gaming in terms of the fact that it's more traditional, straight up fantasy.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's
Fexanadu or your original Dragon Warrior. You know, like it's just it's guys in it's guys in armor with swords and stuff. There's no steampunk elements. There's no flying ships. There's no, you know, like it's. It feels like, you know, some Asian guy's Dungeons & Dragons campaign turned into a video game.
yeah, Dragon Warrior.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like, it's the classic traditional, you know, AD&D second edition monsters everywhere, you know. Cool. And the combat's, it's really fast-paced, which kind of is a little disorienting. It doesn't really feel like RPG combat. It feels like, you know, an action game's combat system.
Right.
And it's pretty complex. The combat's actually pretty complex. There's a lot to the like to different inputs and stuff like that. You use pretty much every button on the controller. Okay. So that took a little bit of adjusting, and it's really, really fast paced, which can get kind of disorienting when you got the three AI characters with you.
Things
do get a little disorienting. But overall, I was pretty impressed. Overall, like I liked the feel of the combat. I thought it felt great. The monsters and stuff looked awesome. The character animations were fantastic. The spells and like the special attacks that you can do look really, really cool. And the character creation was really nice. It was really robust and looked really pretty, you know? So I was pleased with what I saw.
A meaty demo?
No, very short.
No,
painfully short.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a huge download, too.
Yeah, I know. But it was, and even like the way it's set up, you can do two missions, basically. There's like a prologue mission, and then it's a griffin hunt is what they call it.
Okay.
And both are, the prologue mission is a little bit longer. You move through some caves, you fight a few creatures, then you fight a boss creature. Whereas the second one is like, they basically start you on a countryside outside a city. And after about a minute, a griffin sweeps in, and it's just basically fight the griffin, and once it's dead, the demo's over kind of thing, you know?
Okay.
But the character creation is there pretty much in its entirety, so you can kind of fool around with the character creation as much as you like. And apparently, the character that you create can be imported into the retail game.
Ooh, that's nice.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's really robust. There's a lot of customization and stuff to it, so that's pretty cool. I'm really anxious. I'm anxiously awaiting it because it looks like a, you know, for the sandbox RPGs, and especially where Skyrim had kind of, you know how I felt about the main quest in Skyrim.
Yeah.
It looks like it's a little bit more narrative-driven.
Okay.
But at the same time, it still has that explorative feel, and that is something that I really like as well.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping it'll be kind of best of both worlds, as long as the combat doesn't get too hectic.
Right.
You know. But so far, I'm hesitantly thumbs up.
Okay, good, man. I'm looking forward to trying out the demo, because I'm pretty interested in it, I gotta say.
The one thing I will throw out there that has been kind of deceiving a lot of people, like I've had a lot of people say to me, oh, great co-op online game or whatever. The game is not multiplayer.
Okay.
It is not in any way, shape, or form a multiplayer game. The way the game works is you're this character, the Arisen, and you've got this group of people called Pawns, which is an entirely Japanese concept. They basically took AI-driven bots and actually implemented the fact that they're AI-driven bots into the storyline.
Yeah, cool.
So, you know, that's kind of odd. You know, we are pawns, we serve you, Arisen. You know, we live only to serve you, Arisen. This kind of, it's like, okay, alright, this is a little odd. You got these wide-eyed maniacs just following you around, throwing spells around, you know. But the way the multiplayer system works is each person, like basically when you have pawns in your game and you do certain quests and stuff, fight certain creatures, they learn how to fight these creatures and adapt.
Okay.
And you can go online when you get to these runestones where you summon pawns, and you can actually browse through pawns that other people have uploaded.
Cool.
Cool. And if they fought specific types of monsters and stuff before, they'll actually show you how to fight them or tell you what their weak spots are.
Right.
Which is really freaking cool. That is pretty badass.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah, I like that concept. But it isn't, like, again, it's not a four-player co-op game. It's not, you know, get online with a bunch of your buddies and go RPGing kind of thing, right?
Right.
And I think a lot of people were getting that impression early on.
Yeah. Okay.
In other RPG heaviness, I did digitally purchase and play Risen 2 Dark Water. As John is well aware, I was a big fan of the original Risen. I quite enjoyed that game. This really hurts me to say. Risen 2 kind of sucks.
Yes! Really? Yes! Yes!
Say it again. Really kind of sucks.
Oh, God, I'm crying. That's so beautiful.
The first one, I mean, the Xbox version, no, it wasn't technically impressive, but it still played pretty well. Like, it used the controller inputs well and stuff, and the PC version was gorgeous. PC version was a great game.
Once we lined about 10 torches in front of the TV screen so we could see.
But now, again, that was only the original European version. They did redo the lighting engine for the North American release, and it was fine.
How it reached store shelves in Europe without that, I...
Oh, it was a horribly sloppy port. It was a horribly sloppy, bungled port. But now the US version, when the US version came out, and the UK version was also patched. But when the US version was released, it was perfectly playable, and it was a decent game. But Risen 2, and now I'm playing it on PC, not on Xbox. And, man, I really don't like it.
Mm.
The initial, like, the opening of the game was just a big turnoff, and... I played for about an hour and a half or 2 hours. I got to, like, the first big island. And I just, so far, I'm not feeling it. It doesn't have the appeal that the first one had. The whole pirate theme, like, I thought would be kind of cool to play, you know, a pirate RPG and stuff. But it's not handled well. It feels like Fable. And that's exactly what it feels like. It feels like a shitty Fable sequel.
Oh, that's too bad.
It's like Fable 2, only worse. Fable 2 without the dog.
Oh.
You know, it's like, instead of the dog, you get a chickie who was a character in the first game following you around, but she's modeled really, really poorly. And it just, it doesn't even look as nice as the first one. The first one had really great lighting effects, beautiful water effects, and it nailed that whole, the exploration of this uncharted island that you were marooned on and stuff. You know, like it really felt cool that way. Whereas the second one, you kind of start off as member of an army, and you're quote unquote kicked out, and you go to an island, and the game starts, and it's just kind of, like there's no real sense of purpose.
Yeah.
And there's no feeling of, I don't know, like it doesn't really propel you forward very well at all. I'm sure I'm going to go back, and I'm sure I'm going to play some more of it. Like it's not a game I'm going to give up on, because I do like it would be the first Piranha Bytes game that I didn't like. And I have a feeling that it will improve, but right now I'm really not feeling it at all, man.
Mm.
Like it, and this is coming from someone who was ensnared by both Two Worlds and Two Worlds 2. So that was a bit of a letdown. That was a bit of a disappointment. And I know it is coming for Xbox 360 and PS3 in July. And I'm sure I'll break down and grab the 360 version because I've got the first one on 360 as well. But, as of right now, I'm kind of hesitant. I'm kind of, I don't know. Other than that, I had The Witcher 2, which I made some progress with. I'm getting closer to the end of Act 1.
Nice.
And Skyrim, again.
Back in the Skyrim.
I started a new character. This time, my decision was to attack the game with the intent that I'm going to completely disregard the main quest, and I'm going to go and tackle stuff that I did not do in my first playthrough.
Right.
So right off the bat, I'm joining the Imperials, and I'm going to tackle that side of the Imperial, of the whole Civil War, the Skyrim Civil War. And okay. I'm immediately, as soon as possible, joining the Thieves Guild.
Oh, dude, Thieves Guild stuff is awesome.
And that's what I did, was I kind of built a character more around stealth and archery. I built, you know, a wood elf.
Cool, man.
So, and so far, man, playing as an archer has been really, really fun.
Oh, I love playing as an archer.
I'm playing as an archer slash dual dagger wielder.
Sweet.
So it's been pretty cool.
Nice, man.
And that's about it for me, I think. Yeah, that's it. That's the extent. I did have some retro gaming, but nothing really worth talking about. I played some Genesis.
Cool.
I did fire up Pirates of Darkwater on the Genesis.
Oh, nice.
And I got an N64 emulator up and running on my old Xbox.
You're kidding.
No.
That's awesome.
But I've been having some trouble getting ROMs to work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so there's that.
I had some trouble because I realized once I got the ROMs working, they were N64 games.
Well, I downloaded, there were a few, like I went through basically an entire list of N64 games. And there were a few, like 80 in Chronicles, the First Mage, which was an RPG. The second Castlevania, the Legacy of Darkness or whatever, which I never did get to play. And I couldn't get that one to run at all. And then when I tried to run 80 in Chronicles, all the graphics were distorted. Like, it was all, the textures weren't loading in or something. So I kind of gave up after that and went back to playing some Genesis. Played some Shinobi 3.
Cool.
But that's nice. It. That's it for me.
Right on.
Which of you guys wants to dive in here? Which of you's been playing something new?
Don't ask me.
John, go. What you been playing?
One game this week. Just one.
Just one.
Because, as I said last week, Prototype 2 was so just mediocre that I almost lost my entire love of video games.
Ow. Ooh.
I didn't want to even pick up a controller. So then Mrs. Mercer decided it was time for some, you know, quality gaming time with me, and two of us sat down and broke into Rhythm Heaven Fever for the Wii.
Oh.
Interesting. Sounds like an iPad game.
Is this a dance
game? You know, it would actually work as an iPad game.
Is this a dance game?
No, it's a game by Nintendo SPD, the guys behind the WarioWare series.
Oh, God.
And all it is just a series of games where all you've got to do is basically perform a task that's done by keeping the beat.
Eric, is that you?
Like, you've got, you know, the first game starts up and it's you're a golfer and there's, for some reason, there's a monkey throwing golf balls at you, and in beat with the music, you've got to hit the golf balls.
Weird.
Yeah, there's no, and it's all done with just button presses. There's no waggling the remote or anything around.
Wacky.
And you want to know something? It was just what I needed. I mean,
so
like,
basically it's like Parappa the Rapper?
Yeah, kind of like that.
Chop, chop, while I sing this song.
Wow.
And it's weird beyond belief. Like, you know, the games will have you, you know, you're pressing button times. You're dressed up like a sweaty luchador being interviewed. And you've got to do certain things in tune with the music. Like when you hear a cameraman in yell out, strike a pose, you got to hit two buttons at once at precisely the right moment. Your guy flicks. It's just odd and hilarious and unbelievably fun.
Cool. Nice.
How about you, Kev?
A couple video game time.
No, thank you.
Happy family video games together, Steve.
Oh, crap. I played Skylanders with Sammy today.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. It was fun.
Nice.
We only need two Skylanders.
That's crazy, man.
It is crazy.
Wow. Which ones are they?
Wrecking Ball and Terrafin. Yep.
Wrecking Ball and Terrafin.
Yeah.
They got Dark Spyro
after? Never got Dark Spyro, but Dark Spyro, actually, like, when you put him in the game, he registers as just Spyro.
Okay.
And he's an exclusive with the DS. 3D. Wow.
Are they hard to get?
I haven't seen Wrecking Ball around in a while. Terrafin only comes in one of these adventure packs. It's one of those ones that's like, it comes with him, a new level, and items.
Okay.
Goes for like Ghost Roaster.
Yeah, same as Ghost Roaster. Yeah, it goes for like $20.
I'm writing it down. Somebody has a birthday.
This is true. Her birthday is like the 8th of May.
There you go.
9th of May. Jesus.
That's terrible. Oh my
I God. Can't believe I did that.
Wow. Anyway, yeah, I've been playing a fair bit, actually. Despite the fact that I've injured both of my thumbs in different ways.
Were you going to tell us those ways?
Yeah, okay. my right thumb has a massive blister on it from playing the guitar at my brother's birthday party. And that was hurting really bad for a couple of days. And then a couple of days ago, I sliced open my left thumb while making a chicken sandwich.
Damn you, chicken sandwiches!
That's exactly how I felt, man. I only wanted a chicken sandwich. Why are these knives got to be so sharp? Because they're new knives, right? So I've actually been playing a fair bit. Let's see, what have I been playing? I dipped my toes very gently into the waters of Demon Souls.
Woo!
I did. Then I died and took my foot out. I will go back into it again.
You definitely. Damn well better.
No, I definitely will. When I go on my sojourn from, you know, those couple of months away, I'll definitely be playing it. For sure. I like it. You know, it's just, I just got frustrated when I died and lost everything and had to restart. right, so Demon Souls, still playing Castlevania Symphony of the Night. You know, I think gamers these days, aside from games like Demon Souls and Dark Souls, gamers these days are soft, man.
Oh man, totally.
Like, how often in modern gaming do you guys see a game over screen?
Every time you come up against Seth in Street Fighter 4. It's inevitable. Same could be said for Last Boss of Mortal Kombat.
Okay, so aside from fighting games.
Not very often.
Not very often,
no,
right?
Not very often.
And I found
Resident Evil 4 catches me unawares every now and again, but...
Oh, yeah. I found, when I was playing Castlevania, and there was an urgency because I was looking for a save point, and I hardly had any life left, and I was like, oh, my God, you know? And then I died, and I was like, oh, what was my last save? Oh, no. It was not a good feeling.
I was too arrogant.
Exactly. And back in the day, I wouldn't have complained as much as I did. Because I turned it off. I was like, shag that.
You just, like I said, man, like I told you the other night, you need to get the rhythm.
Oh, yeah.
And once you get, like, that's the brilliance of that and Dark Souls, is once you get that rhythm down, the games become infinitely rewarding, man.
Oh, yeah,
because sure. It does become much easier to play, and it does become much more of a situation that, like, when you do F up and die, you really feel, like, you feel guilty for it.
Yeah.
You feel, like, it's one of those series that it just instills that feeling as, like, damn, I totally screwed that up. You know, like, when you're fresh and when you're still kind of learning the ropes, you blame the game and you curse it to heavens and you get really frustrated. But once you learn the ins and the outs, you know that it's because you did something wrong.
Yeah.
It's that
yeah.
kind of a game, you know?
Yeah.
And in that regard...
Quite the Black Knight on that little tiny balcony.
Yeah, in that regard, it's very much an old school game.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what old school gaming was all about.
Yeah, for sure. So I turned that off. Castlevania After Dying. And, you know, loaded up Minecraft, of course. I've been playing that a lot, guys. Oh, my God. Way too much. I was telling Steve this yesterday before Avengers. I've been watching this show on Netflix called, what's it called? 7 Wonders of the Industrial Age, right? And it's like 7 episodes, little mini documentaries about these huge things that were built. And it's inspiring me in my Minecraft gaming. Which is ridiculous.
I just like love this, the story about the village.
So you're basically you're this generation's Kingdom Brunel.
Oh yeah, you've been watching that too.
No, I just he's a character in a book series I read.
Oh, cool. So I finally came across in Minecraft my very first NPC village, and I was talking to Steve about this, and I was so excited. Just because in the game, there's nobody. right? It's just you in this huge, huge environment that generates itself while you're walking around. So it's never ending, you know, it's so vast. And, you know, at nighttime it is dark because you're just in the wilderness, you know, and there are monsters. So when you come across something that an NPC built, like this little village, oh man, I was like so happy. And so then of course, after watching this show, I was like, man, I'm going to build a road to that from my castle. It's going to be the most massive road ever. And they're really far away. I didn't realize how far because I've been traveling for a while. So I ran out of materials and I was like, okay, I'll just go over there and check up on the guys that are over there and see what they're up to, which is not much because they don't do anything. They just wander around. Unfortunately, a creeper followed me in and blew up their well and half of a house. Oh, I felt so bad. It was so terrible. So, you know, I rebuilt for them and put a bunch of torches around, made sure they're all okay. So that was my experience. That was kind of fun.
Here's kind of an odd one for you. Here's just a little bit of commentary.
Okay, all right.
Would you equate, I don't think you played it, but either way, like we were talking a few weeks ago, myself and John were talking about Journey.
Right.
And when you see another character in Journey, and at first you're kind of like, is that another player? And you're like, you realize it has to be another player, but like you never communicate directly.
Right.
But, you know, they're there and you're kind of like, oh, hey, it's someone else. Oh, you know, you get that kind of warm-hearted feeling and you go over and you both jump around for a little while and make little noises with your characters and then you kind of go on about your business.
Yeah.
Would you equate that feeling to like, you know, running into an NPC in Minecraft?
Most definitely. Even though these NPCs don't do anything except wander around.
Yeah.
They do go indoors at nighttime because the monsters are there. But at one point I was there at night and I noticed there was a zombie trying to smash, because zombies will smash on doors at nighttime.
Yep.
Which is a really scary sound, by the way. And I noticed a zombie was smashing on one of their doors, and I was like, no, man. And I, like, attacked him. I felt really protective over them for some reason. Because they're the only life there, aside from myself and all these monsters, you know. Yes, I totally equated to that.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely, definitely, man. I mean, and I imagine I would feel even more of that if it was, like, a multiplayer game I was playing.
Yeah, and it was another player.
We had a server, and we had our little base set up, and we went out and found these guys, you know.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
It's kind of cool. It's kind of cool that, like, something so simple can evoke the emotional response, you know?
Definitely,
something,
man,
that basically looks like an N64 game.
Yeah, I was just about to say, despite how it looks, this game is very brilliant that way in terms of making you scared shitless and making you feel protective over NPCs and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, let's not talk about that anymore. Because it's Minecraft and John's asleep, I think.
No, I'm not asleep.
the other game I've been playing... What?
I'm just being polite. You're not talking about Risen.
The other game that I've been playing, I went back to Arkham City.
Nice.
Yep, I've been playing that all day today. I decided
John's copy of Arkham City.
Yeah, I was going to say, now I want to play Arkham City. I just looked up and carved out a big thick slice of sadness pie.
Oh. I haven't touched it in months and months and months. And I was considered restarting, but I was like, no. But where my save was a boss fight. And so I had to relearn how to play the game while fighting a boss.
What boss was it?
Mr. Freeze.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, at least that's a boss fight where a lot of the stalking mechanics are used.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that'd actually be a little bit handy.
And you know what? It was after that the game kind of came together anyway, so...
Yes, that's true.
You know, everything before that was kind of a dog slow anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I've been playing it all night. Like, I'm after...
And that's coming from someone
much,
who enjoyed
much
Risen.
That now.
And that's coming from someone who enjoyed Risen.
So if that's too slow for him, it's too slow.
It just didn't really pull me in, I guess, you know? Like, not the way Arkham Asylum did.
Right.
No, I can totally dig, because... Yeah. The first act of Arkham City, yeah, it's just you're all over the place and there's no narrative force that's really pushing you.
Nothing propels you forward, no.
Yeah, the only thing that propels you forward is how much of a Batman fan you are, right?
Yeah.
Whereas the first one just kind of, you know, put you in the bat suit and kick you in the ass and get going.
The first one, the second one, Arkham City is the opposite of Arkham Asylum. Arkham Asylum starts all guns blazing and just peters out as it goes, whereas Arkham City starts kind of slow and plodding and then just really starts to kick it in
Related completely. Arkham Asylum is a game where the story starts out really super cool and then turns to absolute dog shit.
It does. It really does.
And Arkham City starts with no story whatsoever and then turns into pure awesomeness.
Still, I have to say, still one of the best video game endings I've ever seen.
Cool, man. I don't know how far I am.
And I still, whenever I went in all my phone calls with my wife, I say Protocol 10 will occur in 4 hours. Was it Protocol 10?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I just finished the point where he activated Protocol 11, which is a very thinly veiled, not spoiler, I hope, for people.
Well, if it is a spoiler at this point, too bad.
Yeah. Guys, listen, we're the last people to play in anyway.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Oh, that's true. It's been out for a long time.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, 6 months or 8 months is a lifetime in this industry.
Yeah. How much further do I have to go?
You still got a fair bit, I think, don't you?
Really?
After Freeze?
No, after Protocol 11. Like, I've defeated Hugo Strange.
You're getting there, but you still got a bit.
How much more can there be? He was the mastermind. Well, not the mastermind, the servant of the real mastermind.
Exactly. Listen, in Batman, there is only one mastermind.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool, man. That's all I've been playing. That's it.
News!
Aside from this cool game that John's going to talk about. John hasn't talked about his game. Oh, no, he did.
Talking about Rhythm Heaven, dude.
Yeah, but there's
monkeys throwing golf balls.
There's a certain game you didn't talk about. That you did play.
Oh, God, yes. I kind of promised Steve I wasn't going to do it.
Go ahead.
Oh, what the fuck? I'm going to do it anyway.
Go ahead.
Last week, I don't do this at all, really. Usually I stay the hell away from Flash games. You know, I had my little dabbling with Newgrounds back in 2003, and I swore to myself I'd never go back. The only good thing to ever come out of it was Alien Hominid.
I agree.
And, yeah. But I absolutely couldn't resist it when I saw an ad online for Perfect Strangers, the video game. And that's not Perfect Strangers, the awesome Deep Purple album. That's Perfect Strangers, the
horrible, awful,
the awesome sitcom.
Horribly disgusting, shitty 80s sitcom.
Oh, well.
With a super
You
duper,
probably loved it when you were a kid.
I hated it.
Amazeballs fucking theme song.
Great theme song.
I will say the theme song is awesome. I always wondered what it'd be like if Gowan covered it.
Dude, you just wrinkled my brain.
No, I was never a
What follows? Yeah, the game is absolutely terrible, except for the fact that the theme song is playing and the lyrics are flying towards you.
Yeah, hilarious.
And I dare anyone to, when it gets to the part where it actually says, starts singing about the on the wings of my dreams,
standing tall,
and not to feel fucking uplifted. If you don't, you have no soul.
I will agree with that.
It's the best way to start the morning, man.
Yeah, and I just love the fact that if you. You know, get over 90%, you get a video clip of the Dance of Joy.
Oh, my... Oh! I 87. I got 87. Thank God I missed that last three.
A couple of those are hard to get, man. I was trying to get you 100, like... So
when I was looking at it, though, at the beginning, like, this is where my mind goes. I'm like, man, Cousin Larry looks like if Eric Bogosian from Talk Radio and Bobcat Goldthwait had a kid.
Oh. Time for the news! May God have mercy
on
your soul.
Page. Check
about better days.
Release dates. Only one this week, but it is a big one. Call of Duty Black Ops 2, November 13th this year.
Bleh.
I agree.
Actually, man, you know, it's got robot tanks in it.
But they look horrible.
I know, but
they look
still
really, really bad.
It's a step.
The premise I really dig. I really like the premise.
My only thing is, man, is that I'm gonna, like, this time next month, I'm not gonna care because I'm gonna be ass deep in Ghost Recon.
Yeah, exactly. But the premise is cool. I like the idea of what they're doing. I like how they're tying, like, the Cold War to 1980s to this near future Cold War. You know, like, that's all cool. That's all fine and dandy. And I like the fact that they're moving it into, like, 2025 or whenever the heck it is it takes place. But the graphics engine's terrible. Have you guys seen the gameplay video?
No. No, I just don't have any interest in
it. It looks awful.
Is it the same engine?
It's still the same engine.
That looked good in 2007.
Yeah.
But has been... It's just completely getting... You know, it's just outstripped.
But what's going on now? It's like Black Ops was. They're not even pushing it anymore. At least with Modern Warfare 3, like, they pushed it beyond the point of breaking. You know?
Yeah.
Whereas with Black Ops 2... They're not even pushing it. It's like, it just looks hideous.
Man, I was at the Evil Empire the other day, and one of the guys working there was like, "So are you interested in pre-ordering Black Ops 2? "No, no, I'm not. Thank Christ. Can I ask you a question? Do you get annoyed when I have to ask you questions like that?"
Really?
To tell you the truth, yes, I do.
I was at Evil Empire in my neck of the woods the other day. Actually, it was the day it was announced.
That was the Evil Empire I was at. And, I talked with the same guy. Yeah. And we probably got him fired.
It was probably Sean and Chris. But they were both working when we were up there, and it was like, yeah, you guys are going to be in trouble tomorrow. Why? What happened? Black Ops got announced today. And Sean's like, "Yeah, Chris, I'm not working the rest of the week."
I just can't believe, you know, they got to push it. Because, I mean, it's like, guys, you don't have to sell Call of Duty.
No.
Because the minute that game gets announced, all the Call of Duty fans lose their fucking minds,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and it just, man, it, you know, it, oh, I, it, the trailer, it had one, it was one of the characters from the original Black Ops is narrating the entire trailer,
yeah.
And it sounds like that, do you remember that parody video they, or the parody game they did for Bulletstorm?
Yeah.
War doesn't change unless it changes. War has changed, you know, like...
I will never give up the launch codes.
But the monologue feels like the monologue from that parody. You know, it was just like, man, this is getting really ridiculous. And
there's one thing above the law. Bats.
And ceilings.
Sometimes I go out, and then I sleep. No, I don't sleep. Justice is ever watchful.
But yeah, it's just it's gotten to the point now that I'm intrigued because it's Treyarch, and I was intrigued with Black Ops. Black Ops is the last one I bought new, and I was intrigued.
Returned.
Oh, the next day it was gone. It was out of my house because as much as the ideas intrigue me and stuff, every other first person shooter franchise on the planet has outstripped it.
Yeah.
You know, like, the engines have improved, they've added physics to your main character is actually a 3D model with physics, that kind of thing, you know, like, there's so much that they just haven't bothered to keep up with.
And I realize the games are completely separate from one another. After playing Crysis 2, never, ever be able to go back to Call of Duty.
No, and I mean, Crysis 2, Killzone 2 and 3, Battlefield 2, Battlefield 3, you know, like...
Medal of Honor Warfighter.
Yeah, which looks phenomenal, and the multiplayer, you can apparently pitch like pretty much every special forces group on the planet against each other, which sounds freaking awesome. You can actually play like a Navy SEALs versus JTF2 deathmatch.
You know what I'd love to have? Navy SEALs versus JTF2 versus Spetsnaz versus Bad Company. with their theme song.
Dun 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 dun.
Bad Company.
Nah, moving on.
Versus Army 2.
I actually have an unopened copy of Black Ops on my shelf.
Yeah, what system?
PS3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it came with
good
the
trade credit for that, man.
I was going to say, if you had a copy for Xbox 360, I'd give you $5 for it. That's all it's worth to me, though.
Speaking of other worthless games, Kevin, don't you have any some Minecraft news?
Oh, you.
I wasn't going to go there.
After I was talking all that good stuff about it, me and Steve shared...
You guys can meet one of my piece of news next.
Well, the Minecraft news this week is really, it is coming out for Xbox this week.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's coming out on the 9th. It's going to be 1,600 Microsoft points.
That's kind of expensive.
It is, yeah.
That's $15.
It is. It supports multiplayer, four-player split screen, eight-player on a server.
Wow.
Yeah, it's massive, dude. It's really awesome. And I've been watching videos, and, like, if you're hosting a game, you know, in terms of on a PC, like, it can get choppy, right?
Yeah, but, yeah.
And it is smooth as silk. The frame rate is so smooth.
How do the features stack up?
It is, essentially, it's a 1.6 update, which is a couple of, maybe two or three updates behind the PC version. But what they did was they picked and chose a couple of the more recent stuff to put in there.
Okay, so it's got the NPCs, it's got the adventure mode.
I'm pretty sure it does, yeah. Well, don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure it does.
Okay.
But they're going to be updating it pretty regularly as well, right?
Awesome.
The crafting system in the UI is very similar to the version on the iOS.
Okay.
Just to make it easier. And the video reviews that I was watching today really praised the control scheme, saying it was really easy to use on a controller.
Awesome.
Yeah, and that it was really cool just, you know, sitting on a couch and, you know, playing with your buddies and stuff. And I was like, oh, man, why don't I have a 360? So, yeah, that's my news, which is very exciting for me, sort of.
I'm actually kind of interested as well.
Yeah, you know, if only it was, like, much cheaper.
Yeah.
You know what I'll have to do? I'll have to buy it for you.
Yes. And then just park on my couch and play Xbox.
Yeah, totally.
Split-screen Minecraft.
Yeah. There's also a tutorial mode, which is new for Minecraft.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's, like, a tutorial section you can go through with, like, a whole bunch of, like, pre-made stuff. And once you finish the tutorial, you can actually keep that world and save it and use that and play around with it, which is pretty neat.
Well, I mean, we all know that console gamers are mouth-breathing simpletons who need to be told how to play their games.
Derp. Excuse me, sir. Can you tell me where I can find the dried lima beans?
Speaking of mouth-breathing simpletons, John, haven't you got a game to talk about, too?
Oh, do I ever. Do I ever. In DLC that Steve doesn't give a shit about, my wife is going to be incredibly excited about. The April Fool's joke, played by THQ and Volition in regards to Saints Row the Third, has become a reality.
Good lord.
This fall, we're going to see Saints Row the Third enter the Dominatrix, a Matrix-inspired DLC patch that basically sets the Third Street Saints loose on in a digital frontier and gives them all superpowers.
Wow.
As if the most retarded game in the world couldn't get any more retarded, it's going to.
Why am I reminded of the scene in The Avengers when Chris Evans gives Nick Fury $10?
I just thought about the showdown between the villain and the Hulk, and now I've got the giggles.
Oh, Saints Row. Meanwhile, in awesome game announcements, The Elder Scrolls Online.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
As if our lives did not need anything else to tear them asunder.
See your daughter when she graduates from college.
It will include three factions at launch. I'm not sure exactly what the factions are. I'm thinking it's probably going to be Thalmor, Imperial, and like some neutral faction like Nords or something.
Yeah,
but it's also going to have three regions. It's going to have Tamriel, which was the province you were, or Cyrodiil, was it? In Oblivion. Cyrodiil. Yeah. In Oblivion.
Tamriel's the world.
Tamriel's the world, yeah. Tamriel's the world. It's going to have Oblivion, or Cyrodiil from Oblivion. It's going to have Skyrim, and it's going to have Elsweyr, which is the homeland of the Khajiits, the cat-like thief race. There'll be more territories to come. It's built apparently on the same engine as Oblivion and Skyrim, so I'm assuming assets are going to be, you know, like pretty easy.
Have you seen that screenshot, Steve?
I have.
Oh, God. I'm not going to judge it on the one screenshot, but if I could for a moment, boy, did that look bad.
there's a few floating around, and they've kind of been all over the map.
Yeah.
But I don't expect it to look stunning. I expect it to look more like closer to Oblivion than Skyrim.
Yeah,
and I'm fine with that. I'm cool with that. You know, like
I'm cool with that aspect. I just don't want it to, in terms of its mechanics, to be, you know, wow.
And they have said that, like, they have been quoted as saying there will be things done to the input. It is purely a third person game,
right?
And there will be like hotkeys and stuff like that for your skills,
right? Right.
And it is exclusively PC and Mac.
Okay.
So it's not coming to consoles, at least not initially, which kind of blows.
Yeah. Huh.
I was kind of hoping for, you know, core Elder Scrolls experience, only with hundreds of people running around.
That's what I was hoping for.
But yeah. I'm thinking that bandwidth just wouldn't be able to sustain that.
That's true. We talked about this a few months back, actually, about how awesome a Skyrim MMO would be. But it would be the greatest MMO of all time. They were like, no, that wouldn't even be possible.
Yeah. Well, now, I mean, obviously no one's seen it in action yet. There's supposed to be some stuff coming at E3. So, I mean, we don't know a release window. We don't know anything yet. All we do know is, holy shit, that was a bitchin' teaser trailer, and that was fucking Michael Gambon.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. Yeah.
We also know that it does take place at the end of Oblivion, with the Imperial Throne vacant and the Thalmor getting ready to move in.
Nice.
So, I'm looking forward to it.
See, I really loved Skyrim, guys, but I fucking hate MMOs.
There's good in MMOs. There is.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by that one. I think it's called Terra.
Terra launched on Friday. Yeah.
I'm kind of intrigued.
On Tuesday, May 1st.
Yes.
That's when it launched on May 1st.
Cool. I might have to check that one out.
Yeah, it looks good, but I'm waiting for a trial.
Yeah.
I was looking at the collector's edition somewhere out in town earlier the week, and it was nice. It was really pretty, but I want to wait and have a trial on that one.
Hmm. You don't want to get home and be like, this is Lineage. Herp derp.
There was some more Elder Scrolls news, I think, was there?
Yes, there is, yeah. We've got some DLC announced. Skyrim Dawnguard. It's going to hit this summer. Timed Xbox exclusive, and that's all we know. Details coming at E3.
Yeah, there's rumors that it's going to include crossbows and snow elves.
Yes, I heard that as well, which would be very cool.
Now, apparently, there's other rumors that are floating around. This is kind of Skyrim related as well. That the next few patches are going to roll out some of the features that were in that GDC sizzle reel.
Well, the Kinect support has happened.
Kinect support is out, and yep. Apparently spear combat's coming.
Really?
Yeah, spears and like the spear skill tree.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, that's
got you. Hit my spear.
Well, I mean, one of the first things I noticed when I started my new character was where I was using an archer. Like, one of the first things I saw was one of the archery kill cams.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, that was awesome.
See, I missed out on all that. Cool. John?
Yes, sir?
You got some news for us?
Yeah, but it's not cool news, though.
Oh.
Not as cool as your guys' news.
It's coolnews.com? No.
Sadly, THQ... is scaling back their E3 presence this year. No standalone booth.
Oh, dear.
You know, it's not like they got a big game release in the summer or anything.
Yeah, it's not like they're putting out Darksiders 2 the same week as E3 or anything.
Yeah.
Or no, that got pushed back to August.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, so.
So that's a big slice of sadness pie for THQ.
Mm-hmm.
I will still bet, though, the Warhammer Dark Millennium is going to kick all kinds of ass.
God, I cannot wait to see that game.
No, what is this?
Warhammer 40K Dark Millennium.
Why don't I know about it?
Is developed by Vigil, the guys who did Darksiders, Darksiders 2, and Relic, the guys who did Space Marine.
Right.
It's co-developed by both teams, both studios. Okay. It was supposed to be an MMO. And this past winter, I guess, back in January or February, they basically scaled it back to a single-player game with multiplayer components.
Oh, okay.
But it is like a real-time...
Which I'm kind of happy about, because I'd rather see a decent single-player RPG than something that's just going to get swallowed up by WoW.
Yeah, and it does. It seems to be, from what I've seen of the gameplay and stuff like that, it looks almost like a Mass Effect-style shooter. You know, like it looks like it's following kind of... It's got that MMO feel in terms of, like, the big open worlds and all of that stuff and the big, like, you know, free roaming and all that and the different factions and whatnot. But it plays more like a third-person cover shooter.
Right.
It looks really damn cool.
That's kind of...
images now, man. This looks wicked.
Yeah, it does look really good.
It's kind of par for the course, though, guys. You know, in the grim, dark future of the 40th millennium...
There is only war.
There is only war. You're going to need cover. And shooting.
I'm glad that they haven't killed it, because I know there was a rumor floating around for a while that it was going to be killed. And I'm really glad that hasn't happened, and I'm really glad that Vigil and Relic are still working on it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm excited about that. When's that supposed to come out?
God only knows. I'd say we'll see details at E3, though.
Okay.
Yeah. I know it's not too far off, because they've been working on it since 2008.
Right.
When was it Darksiders shipped?
Darksiders shipped in... January of 2010.
Yeah, I know when Darksiders shipped, Dark Millennium was announced basically like a month before.
No, they announced it in March of 2007.
Oh, well, there you go.
According to this.
Well, there you go. Even more skin. Yeah. So it's been in the works a while. I know they showed like gameplay and stuff like that. I know it was shown right around the time Darksiders launched.
Oh, okay.
And that was everybody assumed that was going to be Vigil's next game.
Oh, man, that's awesome. See, we all learned something new tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did anyway.
In other new news, Ghost Recon Alpha, a 25-minute prequel to Future Soldier, hits DVD and Blu-ray May 22nd, the same day as Future Soldier. You can catch it on G4 TV right now.
Hmm.
I don't know how I feel.
Ghost Recon Alpha.
I don't know how I feel about it. Like, Ubisoft's really been pumping this live-action thing lately, and the Assassin's Creed one they released, it was kind of cool, but it didn't feel like anything other than marketing to me. You know what I mean?
What are they doing live-action, man? Like, aren't game companies supposed to release shitty direct-to-video animated features?
Well, shitty, or in the case of Dragon Age Dawn of the Seeker, awesome.
You see, I was thinking more about Dead Space.
I know. I haven't seen Dead Space. I can't comment on it.
Sorry, guys. I got distracted. See, I've never played a Ghost Recon game and have no interest in them.
Yeah.
I was just reading about the books coming out for Free Comic Book Day tomorrow. The cover of the Mouse Guard one looks gorgeous.
This is the hardcover one or something, right?
This is a hardcover, yeah. So, like, I'm getting up a 9. I'm getting out there when they open, I'm going to be there.
Try and get me one, dude.
Oh, they're going to be limited, man, what I can take, dude.
Yeah?
Well, yeah, they always do that.
Oh, yeah, because you go to the friggin' crap hole downtown, don't you?
Well, the other place only allows 5 issues as well.
Right? Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, never mind then.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Crap hole downtown. Crap hole.
It is a crap hole.
Jesus. Had days like this. Kane!
Okay, so...
Step out.
getting back to video game news, I'll pay attention now, I promise. This is kind of weird. This is kind of weird news. So a German court ordered Microsoft to stop selling Xbox 360s and the Windows 7 operating system. There was some sort of infringement on a Motorola patent that involved video compression software.
Hilarious.
Yeah, it's really weird, hey? Anyway, Microsoft filed an injunction, so that's appealed it.
So the order can't be enforced yet. I don't think it ever will be.
Probably not.
Yeah.
How long has the 360 been out in Germany? As long as it's been out everywhere else in the world?
Probably, if not as long, then shortly thereafter, I would assume.
Okay, so basically it took them 7 years to notice their copyright was being infringed upon?
Well, this could be something that's been in the works for years, right? I mean, these lawyers and... I don't know, man.
I always get... Whenever I hear stories like that, I'm a little bit skeptical.
Yeah, it's a weird story, but it's legit.
Very strange.
Yeah, very weird. News of the weird.
I'll tell you what isn't weird. Kickstarter
is great.
In Kickstarter news this week, Leisure Suit Larry has hit its $500,000 goal. Final tally, $682,000. So, I know if you're a Leisure Suit Larry fan, I'm sure there are some out there. Exciting times. New project, Legend of the Time Star, is a retro RPG and looks pretty goddamn awesome. And it's just crossed 5,500 of its $55,700 goal.
Best of luck, guys. 21 days left, I think.
Yeah.
And it does look pretty bitchin'. It looks pretty
cool. And also, one last bit of Kickstarter news. I'm not going to spend too much time on it because, quite frankly, the bastard doesn't deserve it. Some stupid shit put up a fake game, got busted, the end.
Awesome.
He got up to about $8,000, I think, and
really,
people started noticing that the artwork he was posting up was photoshopped.
Was ripped off of DeviantArt?
Yeah, ripped off DeviantArt, and I think there was like some Blizzard art and stuff like that there as well.
Yeah,
and it was
really crappy, like Photoshop tutorial photoshops. Like, you know, with a couple key presses, I can turn this picture Old West color.
Oh, that's terrible.
It's like, wow, sepia tone.
Amazing.
Citizen Kane claps all around.
Yeah, he got what was coming to him.
Yeah. You know, it wasn't long before some stupid, greedy son of a bitch tried to ruin a good thing.
Yeah, and I mean,
we all knew it was going to happen.
Thus far, it has been such a good thing too. That's the worst part, you know. Thus far, it's been such a kind of a, you know, unity. And
today's so far, I think $25 million has been donated to game projects thanks to Kickstarter, or not donated, I should say, has been backed by gamers, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, yeah, for a lot of projects, I mean, you know, we're seeing a lot of projects that otherwise we wouldn't. Anyone who listens to this knows how excited we are about Shadowrun Returns. And, you know, what's the one the couple guys from BioWare are doing?
Oh, Banner Saga.
Banner Saga has got, you know, that awesome, like, old school Disney art style.
Yeah. And this Edge of the Time one, it's got this, like, almost 2D SNES art style that, like, it looks really cool. It's got really nice sprite graphics and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It looks like fun. Has anyone got anything for Retro Rockets this week?
I suspect you do.
I just happen to.
Well, then I can wait until next week.
Well, no, you go ahead.
No, go on, man. No, I don't actually have anything.
This is the thing about Retro Rockets. It's timeless. I'm going to fire the Retro Rockets, and I'm going to ask you, gents, in alphabetical order, your favorite classic ninja game.
Oh, that's easy.
Go for it.
Well, actually, it's a tie.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's really? A tie.
J comes before K, Kevin.
And Mercer comes before Woolrich.
Take that, mega douche. Right, tell you what, Kevin, you can go first if you let me do one thing.
What's that?
I want you to listen very carefully because you know what it is. Swish!
Oh, okay. If you put me through that, I'm definitely going first.
Any listeners out there who think I'm, you know, blowing sweet nothings to Kevin, watch Megaforce. All will be explained. Go on, Kevin.
For me, it's a tie between, of course, the original Ninja Gaiden, or Gaiden, and
Ninja Spirit. You saw the wizard, it's Ninja Gaiden.
And Ninja Spirit.
Ninja Spirit. Oh, yeah.
That was a deadly game.
Is that that's a super awesome TG-16 one.
Yeah, with the great music.
Ninjas.
Yep. I love that game. John, do you want to go ahead now?
Yeah, I got a couple actually pretty close to my heart. One, because it's really crappy, but I played a ton of it, was an old DOS game called Saboteur.
I remember Saboteur.
Yeah.
I remember a few years ago there was talk of bringing Saboteur back. I think it was in the PlayStation 1 era.
More than a few years ago, man. That was like it was supposed to be an Xbox game, I believe.
Was it Xbox or PlayStation 2? I thought it was PS1.
It might have been PlayStation 2.
And that's like the ninja guy with the pet dog.
Yeah. Pet wolf, right?
Yeah.
Get at me, wolf! for a serious choice, you guys remember Shadow of the Ninja?
Shadow of the Ninja.
Oh, yes.
Natsume side-scroller. Oh, I think we played that on Retro Night a few weeks ago.
We did.
One starts on the dock in the pouring rain. And, like, the music was just pure 8-bit orgasm. Just fan-fucking-tastic soundtrack. And like all sorts of really badass weapons. Like, yeah, you could get the what's it called, the Kasarigama, the sickle on a chain.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could get that weapon. You could get swords, shuriken. The bosses were awesome. Just great, awesome old. The type of game that you don't see these batshit insane stories anymore. You know, like some evil alien space emperor comes down and enslaves New York City, and the only thing that can stop him are two ninjas.
Oh, Japan. You just lost me. I just checked out.
These beats are fat.
All right, favorite ninja game. Well, since Kev stole my number one and two choices, respectively.
Yeah,
he didn't. There was a sequel to Ninja Gaiden, and it was the best one.
Ninja Gaiden 2 was absolutely goddamn phenomenal.
It's probably one of the best 8-bit sequels, actually, ever.
I'm gonna deviate from my usual modus operandi. I'm gonna actually pick a game for a system that I despise. I'm gonna go with Shinobi 3.
What was that on?
Oh,
for Sega Genesis.
Man. Sega Genesis?
Yep. Shinobi 3, even Revenge of Shinobi was pretty badass, but Shinobi 3 was just an awesome, awesome game. And as far as the Genesis goes, it was probably one of the better showpieces for that machine, which isn't saying a whole lot.
Oh man, there were some of the levels in Shinobi 3 were SNES worthy.
No, they weren't.
No, man, the forest on fire was awesome.
It was, but the Genesis just didn't have the sprite depth or anything. Like, everything on the Genesis looked like it was kind of murky gray. You know, it was closer to TG-16 than Super Nintendo.
Bigger sprites than TG-16.
What's that?
Bigger sprites than TG-16.
Yeah.
Not as spot looking.
Yeah, but the colors were just so bland. Yeah. It only had, I think it was a 64 color palette or something.
I have very, very, very fond memories of Shinobi 3.
Shinobi 3 is an amazing game. It is an absolutely fantastic game. And it is probably one of the better games on the Genesis. When I went back playing some Genesis stuff, and this is what spurred it on, of course, was right off the bat I started playing Revenge of Shinobi, Shadow Dancer, and Shinobi 3. So,
what I liked about Shinobi 3 is, and I loved Revenge of Shinobi, but, I mean, Revenge of Shinobi still got some early Genesis sloppiness to it.
It does, yeah, it really does.
Shinobi 3 kind of took that, and it really tightened everything up. And, you know, every level is just freaking action-packed. You know, I love the one where you're, I think actually for a boss, you're basically jumping up rocks that are falling off the side of a cliff.
Yeah, yeah. And then there was one where you're on the turbo-powered skate, or turbo-powered surfboard in
in the giant mech.
Yeah, in overlooking the Statue of Liberty.
There's nothing screams ninja like that.
Yeah.
But then again, what was Shinobi's name? Joe Musashi?
We used to just call him Joe Shinobi.
Joe Shinobi?
Joe Shinobi.
Yeah, there was a whole family of them. You know, there was Joe, there was Brother Bo, wife Flo.
Yeah, Flo Shinobi.
Flo Shinobi. And it, but, yeah, like, he
remember
not
Shinobi
stealthy.
Legions on the Saturn?
Yeah, that oh. Do I ever.
Oh, God, man. That was such a horrible game.
The cutscenes. Awesomeness. The first night hanging out with you guys, I just saw you had that and a Saturn. I got crazy excited.
That's right. Me, you, and Russ were playing it, weren't we?
And that and that and Sylphie, The Lost Planet.
On PS2. Oh, man. There it is.
I miss ninjas in games. I really do.
You don't, and nowadays they never do ninjas right anymore.
No, they don't.
No.
I forgot one of my absolute faves.
Okay.
Tenchu.
Oh, Tenchu is a great game.
That was wicked. I loved playing that game.
Yeah, I remember. I think me and you finished Tenchu, didn't we?
We played a lot of that.
I think it was me, you, and Russ.
Might have been.
Yeah. I remember being really, really pissed off when we fought Onikage.
Mm-hmm.
I loved in Tenchu, you knew when you fucking killed someone, too, that the sound the blood made spurting out of him.
The fountain of gore. Tenchu was pretty fun.
Oh,
yeah.
You!
On a side note, I just got a Facebook message from Atlas's PR department.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
That's kind of cool.
Is it a cease and desist order?
No, they were actually asking me about the Game of Thrones RPG.
Nice.
Yeah. I had posted something on the Game of Thrones Facebook group, and they sent me a message replying.
Cool, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
On that note, thanks for listening, guys. Whoever's
You're
out
welcome.
There listening. Kev, John, thanks for joining me. It's been...
Always a pleasure.
It's been swell.
It's been a slice.
It has been.
It's been a stone groove.
You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/...
Or in theaters watching Avengers again.
Yeah, or in theaters watching Avengers again. Or going down the street to get some, what was it called?
Shawarma.
Shawarma. There's a shawarma.
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 Shawarma. There's a shawarma place around the corner.
I'll tell you, man.
I've never had it. I want to have it.
I tell you, Thor made that shit look delicious.
So, yeah, you can get us on Facebook, facebook.com/blastprocessing. You can find us at dvdverdict.com in the forums, in the jewelry room. We've got our own little section there. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear what your favorite ninja game is. If you want to hook up with Blast Processing or They Came from the North or Sights and Sounds of Cinema or any of the Verdict's other awesome podcasts, of course, the Friday Filibuster. You can subscribe to DVD Verdict Presents on iTunes and have them delivered to your whatever the heck it is they get delivered to, your iPod, your iPad, whatever, pretty much every day of the week, I think.
I think you're right there.
Yeah, there you go.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. So, if there's anything we want to leave you with, it is this.
Want to get Capone? Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue.
We are out of here.